Hello again. Welcome to the programme. I hope the past week was good for you. Armagh are All-Ireland senior football champions. And this Sunday, the Kerry senior ladies will aim to walk up the steps of the Hogan stand. But like last weekend, Galway stand in the way. So let's get straight into it. I'm joined in studio by RT Sports' Orla Keening. And on the line is former Donegal player and captain Nadine Doherty. Orla and Nadine, how are you both?
Good, thanks,
Damien. Great, Damien, thank you.
Yeah, great to chat to you. Nadine, I'll come to you first of all. To suggest that Kerry are back in the final and to suggest that they're playing against the Galway team in this decider, would that have come to you as a surprise maybe earlier in the year?
Oh, huge, Damien. It would have been, it came as a surprise to me 3 or 4 weeks ago when Galway turned Dublin over in the quarterfinal. It's very hard to believe that I'm sitting here talking about a final and Dublin not being in that final, to be honest. No surprise, really, that Kerry are there. You know, as you said already, it's their third in a row. They've made no secret of the fact that everybody is back, plus extra. You know, they've added to their panel in 2024. And the aim this year was championship. You know, they got to a league final, but that was a bonus to them. The championship this year has been their number one. But yeah, listen, Galway, they're the surprise team, almost relegated from Division One. Very underwhelming performances so far in the championship, aside from that Dublin game. And, you know, I would say that Kerry themselves are probably surprised and relieved that they're not playing Dublin. So yeah, look, a big surprise for all. But we'll see how it goes. Mm. You know, you look at Galway, Connacht champions, as we said, they beat Mayo. They didn't have a match then, Damien, for weeks on end. So, you know, that also plays into, you know, teams coming in a bit colder. Kerry making that league final, having a more competitive Munster championship, that has probably stood to them in terms of consistency and in terms of, you know, having consistent performances.
Orla, as Nadine was saying there, you know, the surprise package that is Galway, like even in the league, they were losing games. But I suppose on greater inspection, they weren't losing those games by much, like 3 or 4 league games by a point or two. And how the tiny margins have just swung around in their favour. Have you been impressed by how they've taken advantage of that?
Absolutely, I really have. I think from the league, it was interesting. They didn't have a lot of the Kilcare and Cumbern players there. They were obviously busy with their club, so they've come back. But what Galway have is so interesting. They've Daniel Moynihan in his first year as a senior inter-county manager. Mm. Last year, for people that don't know, he won the All-Ireland A minor title with Galway. 13 players within the panel, whether they might not be in the 30 that are named, were minor either in 2023 when they won that title or in 22. And those players, they would have been successful in 22. So those players, you're coming in with a senior manager now in his first year that has won a title at minor. You've got players coming in and they are the top dogs at minor. Now it's different to senior obviously, but they've beaten the Kerrys, the Corks, the Dublin. So they don't know any different. So when you've got a team that have won an All-Ireland club title, or players, sorry, that have won All-Ireland club title and minor title, you've suddenly got a winning formula in the background that no one has kind of paid attention to. And I think that league getting relegated, everyone wrote them off. And then when they came to that Dublin game, they showed that they are a serious team to reckon with. And they should have beat Cork in that group game. I was watching that. It was so tight. They were really unlucky. But they've really turned it around. And I think that's so key for them. First year senior manager, you couldn't ask for an All-Ireland final.
And Nadine, Roisin Leonard is in unbelievable form. But as Orla says, that tide of youthful momentum that's coming through, and we'll address Kerry in a second, but that is a formidable force, isn't it? Like when you're that young, there's no fear sometimes when you go out on the pitch. Would you agree with that?
Oh, you would. I'd agree with that 100%. But I suppose looking at that Galway team and looking at their first 15, the core group of players there, aside from one or two minors dotted in and out, it is your Kilcare and Clonbearn team who Orla alluded to. It's your Roisin Leonards, it's your Alva Daverins. You know, they are the players. You talk about leaders. Damien, Nicola Ward at 6, I mean, she is a warrior. I think if Galway win this championship, you're looking at your player of the year there. Wow. She's worth 3 or 4 players. You know, and in ladies football too, Damien, like when you have a solid free taker, it's massive, because every team doesn't have a solid free taker, and they really do in Roisin Leonard. But I would feel as well, they also have the ability to go beyond that defensive structure that they have. And they showed this against Dublin, that their management does not hesitate in breaking up, you know, the 10 behind the ball and going player to player. And Aoife Callaghan has been a huge asset to them in that regard this year. Charlotte Cooney also returning to the panel. I mean, Aoife Callaghan, she took Dublin's key players out of the game. O'Connor out of the game massively. So, you know, they have that ability. I think with that minor group coming through, absolutely, they bring an element of fun to it. They bring an element of a lack of nerves to it. But I think those younger players, if Galway get over the line today,
the core players,
they could dominate. It's the core players still, Damien. It is the core players, and they're the players who need to start putting the back-to-back performances together.
Okay, and then Orla, on the other side of the defence, you've got Kerry, you know, two recent All-Ireland defeats, and here they are again, and they are favourites in many people's eyes, and you have your obviously your household names there up front, but the experience of losing the two finals previously, will that be a hindrance to them, or will that propel them onto greater things this weekend coming?
I don't know. I suppose that's a question for within the camp. I suppose it'll go back to the mentality of the group, and they're an exceptional group. When you look at the names on that team, I'm fortunate enough to speak to one or two of them before, Anna Galvin, Shifra O'Shea. They're incredible leaders. So I'm sure they're taking the positives out of those two losses, but I'm sure that is subconsciously in the back of their mind of this is their third final in a row. And if they go 3-for-3 losses, that'd be massive. And I was reading an interview this morning. I think win or lose, this is probably the last iteration of this Kerry team. I think we'll see a mass exodus maybe next year within the management team and the players. So for them, I think for the likes of Louise, for the likes of Anna, I would love to see them win All-Ireland this year. But for them to go, if they lost three finals in a row, would be heartbreaking. But I'm sure they'll learn from it. They will feel they left that final behind. I think I've said that in every episode I've been on. So they are an incredible group of leaders. They will approach this final and really go for it.
Nadine, against Meath a couple of years ago, they were beaten by a counter-attacking athletic team. The athletic performance of that Meath team was something to behold. And then they met a Dublin side that was regrouping and regathering. Do you think they have an edge over Galway in terms of experience of finals this weekend coming? Do you think that might stand to them?
I don't know, Damien. You know, as Orla said earlier, you know, those kind of things, that's very much, you know, within the camp, but it hasn't done them any harm. But I think a key element for this Galway team to look at is that they have probably set up this year with the view of meeting Dublin in a final. So you can see it with them. They've moved to a more possession-based defensive style of play this season. They're very much executing that game plan. They've gone away from that entertaining, lovely, quick, direct football that we loved about Kerry, but it didn't get them a championship against Meath. It didn't win them a championship against Dublin. So they've moved away from that. Key as well, they've also added to their panel, and a huge addition to that panel has been Emma Dineen at full forward. I really hope they give her long ball this weekend, I mean, because she's just incredible when she gets going. She's a wonderful link player. They've also focused big time, I feel, on their strength and conditioning, and I think that is where they could have an edge on Galway. Focusing on that strength and conditioning, they've probably slowed down a little bit. I would feel that they wouldn't have a huge amount of pace around the middle. But again, going back to initially what I said, you know, they have moved to that more possession-based style of play. So they don't necessarily need that speed. The experience will stand to them. I think the experience of mistakes that they've made, Damien, I think they have to learn from that to get over the line. Their kickouts in the last two finals have been really poor. You know, I would also feel that the first 25 minutes are going to be key. And if Kerry are still in the game with 25 minutes to go, coming into halftime, if it's still tight, you'd feel that they have a very good chance. But look, flipping it, Galway are a team, as we saw against Dublin, who can squeeze out the results when it's very, very tight. So it is, look, it's so hard to call. And again, look, we talk about experience. Half of that Galway team with Kilcare and Clonbearn, they've won three championships in a row. So you could say that they're level pegging in terms of that, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah, like listen to you both, like the inches are just so tight in this one, aren't they, Orla? Just going back to what Nadine spoke about there, you saw last weekend the men's game. Both teams well capable of playing each other off the field or going end-to-end open football, but they chose not to. It was a more compact, tense, possession-based final. And, you know, judging what Nadine is saying, Kerry are maybe hardening themselves just to do whatever it takes to get over the line.
Yeah, I think they are. And Nadine, I agree with you. They've gone away from that fast style, which I really enjoy watching, and I'm kind of disappointed in that way. But look, if that's what's going to win them the All-Ireland, they'll do that. I think Galway are nearly, they're quite quick in transition. I find Nicola Ward is key to this team. Danielle O'Leary up front for me with Kerry has also been huge this year. Top scorer, 130. Mm. She's taking pressure there off Louise. Mary Hurtig is following up there in second place with 217. And then Emma Dineen has 4-5. So their scoring is more spread this year and less pressure on Louise. But this is going to be really interesting. I'm trying to put a prediction together in my head as I talk, but it's going to be very difficult to call.
Nadine, before we release you back to your holidays, just to give us your final thoughts on this decider. So would it be accurate enough for us to suggest both teams mind their house, both teams keep the ball, you maybe a counter-attack, and that it will come down to that last 10-minute period like we have seen so often in the sport maybe over the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, you'd hope so, Damien. You'd really hope so for the game as well. You know, I spoke last week with Shane on Game On that... Yeah. you know, the semi-finals were really poor. So we need a final like that. I think whoever manages to overcome the nerves or whatever block causes both of these teams to underperform and have that lack of consistency, then obviously, you know, they'll put themselves in with a very good chance of winning. As I said, those 20, 25 minutes at the start, they'll be key. And as we said as well, you know, and I agree with Ollie, you'd have to feel that Kerry hold that slight advantage due to being that third final in a row. You do have to give them that. And I think a massive thing, and for me, this is what gives Kerry a little bit of an edge, it's not Dublin, that it's Galway. I do think that's huge. And Kerry, they have been the more consistent team. But look, Damien, nobody knows what's going to happen in this game. Galway could easily turn them over. I wouldn't be putting huge money on Kerry. But what I would say with confidence is that it is Kerry's to lose. Okay. That would be my viewing on it.
I'll be at Croke Park on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to that, Nadine. Enjoy the game. And thanks so much for that brilliant insight, Nadine Doherty.
Lovely.
Former Donegal captain and obviously a star as well. And Orla, just before we finish up our conversation, the junior final and intermediate final takes place as well. Fermanagh versus Loudon in the junior final, Orla, and Leitrim versus Tyrone in intermediate. We might start with that. Just get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Leitrim are still in Division 4. They unfortunately didn't get promoted this year. They'll feel they left that semi-final behind. This year there was two teams promoted, so they unfortunately lost that. You're coming up against a really strong Tyrone team who have won. They won Division 2. They're going to be in Division 1 next year. They're flying Maria Canavan 222 this year, Chloe McCaffrey with 211, Sorka Gormley, who's a minor, it scored 3-4 as well for them. I think it's Tyrone's day, but in saying that, when you look across to Leitrim, Michelle Guckian is 428. So, but for them to be in an intermediate final in Division 4 is quite an achievement. So I'm not going to write them off, but if they're in senior championship in Division 4 league, geez, that's some gap.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah,
but I think for me, it's Tyrone's day, and I think they'll be a serious contender as well to move up into senior championship.
Okay, final word then. Fermanagh versus Louth in the ladies junior final. That's 11:45 a.m. on Sunday.
I can't see a pass for Manor for this. They obviously were intermediate a couple of years ago, got relegated when a number of players stepped away. Emer Smith, to me, would start for any county team in the country. Yeah. 9:41 in the junior championship is sensational. She is an absolute sensational player. If you are tuning in for any football this weekend, make sure you watch her, because that's going to be some performance from her, I'd say, in the final. But to me, it's Fermanagh's win.
Orla, brilliant. We chat to you next week for the Camogie final.
Sounds good.
Top of the game as always. Orla Keeling, RT Sport. Thank you so much. Now, time to chat to Armagh senior football coach, Conlett Gilligan, who joined Kieran McGeaney set up last year. And Conlett, would it be accurate to describe you as a lucky, lucky charm?
Yeah, I'll take that. And just a few months in. So, bad luck. It's been brilliant, Damien.
What's the last few days been like, Conlett? I mean, you've experienced great days before in your career with club and county, but this must be right up there. I mean, to come in, I suppose, let's be honest about it, Conlett. You know, you were on this show this time last year. We were reviewing the year that was, and now you're an All-Ireland winning coach. And you came in, let's be honest about it, you came in maybe a good few years into the project. But when you came in, what did you see around you?
Yeah, look, Kieran and Julie and Dennis and Hugh, and they'd been there 10 years, and I suppose then Kieran McKeever and Star had been in, you know, 4 years. So I was only in a wet week, but I've seen a group, I suppose, that were functioning at a very high level, and the level of preparations the players put into it and the management was just massive. And, you know, it was an eye-opener for me, because while I knew it was going to be busy, I didn't expect it to be that busy. And, you know, it's a credit to that group of people that have been there so long. And I suppose, look, I just very lucky, came in at a good time as well.
What impressed you most about the actual squad of players, Conlett? I mean, and maybe I suppose I'm going to flesh that out as the year went on, maybe a little bit more heartache in the Ulster final as well, but they had some previous to that as well. Their resilience stands out for me, but for you, what impressed you most about the Armagh players?
Yeah, look, I think it was just their willingness to do more than what was expected, you know. So yeah, look, every team does the big things the same, really. But it's the smaller things, and it's the sacrifices of extra nights here, and, you know, maybe preparation on video work there. And, you know, it's the small things that probably make the difference with the group. And I suppose it, because you see Kieran and all the Kierans, you know, and Kieran McKinney as well. Sorry, I didn't mention him. Given so much, everybody wants to do more than what's expected. And when that happens, it's very powerful to watch, and everybody wants to do more to sort of try and keep up and try and drive the standards. And, you know, and that's a credit to Kieran McGeaney that he's been able to encompass that through the group for such a long time. And it's very powerful to be a part of.
Conlett, when Kieran chatted you about joining the squad as a coach, like, everybody knows your credentials and everybody has appreciated your insight in the media over the last couple of years. Did you have to think long and hard about it? And secondly, then, with the level of expertise that he has in the backroom team, how difficult must it have been for him to balance that out? Like, everybody wants to have their own input on the training field as well.
Look, I'll be honest, it probably wasn't very difficult. I've known Kieran for a while and we've chatted this thing through a couple of times, and timing was never probably right. So when he spoke to me, look, immediately I said, look, if I can make it work at home, then the answer is definitely yes. And I suppose part of that was I'd known Kieran McKeever and Dennis Hollywood from their time with Mayo Bridge when they battled with Kilcoo and that team prime. So I knew how good Kieran McKeever probably was, and probably I didn't appreciate just how actually good he was whenever I seen him firsthand, you know. And you know, and then obviously I didn't know Kieran Donaghy at all, and the opportunity to work with them boys and learn, because when you meet Kieran McGeaney for a cup of tea, as we would have done back and forward, you always go away sort of learning something more. Look, for me and my development, and I wanted to keep learning, and I knew that was a place that probably I could only be better with. So it was a very, very easy decision in one sense, because I knew some of the players, and you know, and they've been very close, and they've been very unlucky, and they'd lost penalties. And I suppose working with yourselves over the last while, I'd done a lot of the games, and you know, they were maybe on the cusp of something. And Kenny, you want to be a part of that if it could happen.
It has the script of a Hollywood movie, so let me ask you that kind of leading question: was there any turning point or any shift in the landscape this season that you noticed yourself from maybe the lads on the trenches? That right, okay, we're after maybe changing the graph of the season here now, right in front of us.
It's funny because, you know, you lose the league final, and I suppose there's a bit of devastation with that, and then the Ulster final. And it's funny, the boys had lost games like that before, and, you know, they took it in their stride, really. You know, we were back to training on the Tuesday or the Wednesday after those games, and it was, right, look, it's the next thing, you know. And that impressed me, because I was only there a wee while, and I know after the Ulster final, like, I was gutted. And the players were just able to bounce back, and it was that. But I suppose really, in the last number of years, having lost at quarter final stages, having played really well coming through, probably the win over Roscommon in the quarter final was big, because Armagh had stumbled there on a few occasions, and I suppose there was a few people maybe tipping Roscommon to do that again. But obviously they were in a higher division, and once the quarter final came, then it was new ground, I suppose, and I suppose, like, with having a star there and Kieran McGeaney, who had won All-Irelands, you know, that kind of gives you the confidence that, you know, look, these boys know what they're at, and the players responded to that, you know, really, really well.
Conal, I was chatting to Aidan Forker after the game, and he mentioned too that the players had a meeting, and they basically looked each other in the eye and you know, before the Galway game, and I suppose they had their minds made up just in terms of the matchups that you had to achieve. Was it ever going to be anything but a tense kind of maybe counter-attacking game, Conal? Like, I mean, I've looked at Armagh games previously, and sometimes they can take on a life of their own, but was the stakes simply too high last Sunday for an open end-to-end encounter? And look, it had flashes of that, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, look, I don't think, you know, because the teams knew each other so well, you know, they played so often, and the games have been always really, really tight. And obviously you go back to the game in Croke Park that went to penalties, and it was sort of rough and rain football, and Galway won that, which meant that everything they had done was right, and everything Armagh had done was wrong. But the truth always is somewhere in the middle. So look, both teams knew each other well. You know, Galway, you know, hadn't conceded goals all year, you know, other than maybe two Armagh. So, okay, you know, they get Dylan McHugh and, you know, and Mulcairn's back in, and they play with a double sweeper, and they're very, very hard to break down. And because of their physical size, you know, you can't really go into contests with them, because generally a lot of the teams, and you've seen when they're stripping Dublin of the ball, you kind of just know the power of their defensive unit. So I don't think it was ever going to start off any way different. And then obviously the game opened up, because once you were getting down that home stretch, and the win was in sight for probably both teams for long periods of that half, and the goal was decisive at that time, because before that, you know, as most Galway had just taken the march, and they kicked a couple of points on the bounce to go two up. So it was a huge swing in momentum, and you know, the Armagh supporters went wild, and the players probably fed off that a wee bit.
Just in terms of the tactics then, like, I've always noticed with Kieran McGeaney, like, he's never afraid to try new things. And even with Grimley in an advanced position, and look, you know, you did try the long diagonal ball into the full forward line a couple of times as well. I suppose you were met with maybe a lot of traffic in there, but that ability to try new things, even though he has been labelled as a conservative coach by some people over the years, you know, that must really have, I suppose, impressed you as a student of the game as well, Conlis.
Yeah, look, and it's a strange one because obviously, you know, Kieran got labelled as being very, very defensive and maybe not allowing his team to play forward football. And to be brutally honest, the very first thing that we talked about was, you know, forward play and attacking play. And like, that's been the basis of most of the year. You know, Kieran McKeever obviously had done a brilliant job for a number of years with the defence, and it was always tight. But most of the sessions are built around attacking. And I know a lot of people from the outside, you know, wouldn't probably see that. And even going into the first league game against Louth, and, you know, the game was very tight and very tense, and we won it by a point. And, you know, there was a bit of criticism about that and the style of play. But those games, and people didn't appreciate just how good Louth were, you know. So the game is always based on that. And then you go to the Derry game where it opens out into that type of game. And I think, well, finally, you know, maybe Kieran's allowing the players to play, and nothing but further from the truth. The whole game is always based around him and attacking. And it was very strange to read that, because when you're inside, all he wants the players to do is attack, play off the cuff at times when they see it. But the narrative was always something different. And I suppose, thankfully, now that's maybe shut for him. But, you know, in terms of what he has had to endure for 10 years and the heartache, like, to keep coming back to the level he has, and, you know, it's his enthusiasm, it's his drive that sort of pushes everybody in that direction. It's been well documented over the last two or three days. Players said it a whole lot better than I could do it, but to be involved with him is incredible. And, you know, and he's a very different personality to the personality that probably people would be perceived. And I suppose over the last year or two, they've probably seen a different side to him, maybe now that the pressure valve has been released a wee bit.
Conlett, well described. And congratulations to you, and congratulations to Armagh. And we'll chat to you soon again, please God.
All right, thank you, man.
All-Ireland winning coach Conlett Gilligan there. Now, finally, to round off a hectic show, we'll have a chat with our old friend, GAA historian Keane Murphy. Keane, how are you doing this week?
I'm really good, Damien. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show again. Just, I suppose, a couple of little things we want to touch upon this week, Keane. The Sam Maguire made his way up north last weekend. That cup was presented to the All-Ireland senior football winners. But before that, it was called the Crow Cup. And you've a story behind that for us as well, Keane.
Yeah, so the Uachtaráin made history last weekend. The first Uachtaráin to present the Sam Maguire to his son's winning team. But before that, the new Uachtaráin did us a great service when he managed to secure the return on the loan of the original football trophy, which is the Crow Cup. So in 1896, Dr. Croke presented two cups to the GA to present one hurling, one football, identical cups. And the Hurling Cup we always had, and was the League Cup for a while, and was retired now and is in behind the display case in the museum, and is fantastic. The Football Cup went missing. And from 1898 to 1901, it was the first ever cup that was given for the All-Ireland Football Championship. And it surfaced thanks to an antique dealer in Ennis called Tony Honan, who's a huge GA man, well known in Clare and in Munster.
Where did it surface, Keane?
He was at an auction event in Dublin, and a friend of his had the cup, who was also an auctioneer, and knew that Tony was involved in the GA, interested in the GA, and gave him the cup. So Tony held onto it, kept it safe, and it surfaced. Its general whereabouts weren't known. It surfaced thanks to Humphrey Kelleher and Siobhan Doyle, their two books, Humphrey's book on the family silver, and Siobhan's excellent book on the GA in 100 Objects of a couple of years ago. That put it on Gerlach's radar. And Gerlach was in Ennis in June for the launch of the All-Ireland series. And he called into Tony, asked to see the cup, and got chatting to Tony, and asked, look, I would love for us to be able to put that on display again in the museum. And Tony agreed. So the cup is back in the care of experts in the GA Museum in Crow Park. Well, hopefully it'll go on display again very soon. Fantastic. But it just goes to show you how easily things can get lost if they're not minded. You know, we got the cup that was used for the football, the international football competition in the Tolton Games 100 years ago, turned up in a skip. Again, thankfully, somebody looked at the inscription and it was brought back to Crow Park, and again is on display. But it just goes to show you how precious these things are if they're not minded and looked after.
Precious and such a part of the GEA heritage, Keane. And look, I mean, this is the 140th anniversary of the GEA, and you've got a couple of exhibitions going on as well, one in Crow Park and the other in the Phoenix Park. And why the Phoenix Park, Keane?
Yeah, so the Phoenix Park, Damien, 130 years ago, there were two All-Ireland finals played in the Phoenix Park. The hurling and football finals. They were a year late. They were the 1893 finals, and they were played, as was kind of common practice, they were a year behind. So in June of 1894, the Black Rock Hurling Club of Cork bet Confederation of Kilkenny and Hurling and the Young Irelands of Selscar in Wexford Town. They won against Drumtariff of Cork in the football. And so we unveiled a plaque to acknowledge that fact because it's part of a project that we have going on to mark the sites of All-Ireland Senior Finals. And as part of that, then the Things Park, the OPW were delighted to extend that and just put on a display that highlights the link, because the thing, you can't really tell the story of the GAA without telling the story of its link to the Phoenix Park. It's where Michael Cusack hosted several exhibition games every Saturday for about 6 months before the GAA was officially founded. There are exhibition games and trial games taking place at the Wellington Monument and in the 15 acres. And we have a huge, huge link to the Phoenix Park. First ever inter-county match was in 1886 between North Tip and South Galway. And you'd be delighted, Damo, that North Tip won that match. The cup went back to Tipperary, and then on St. Patrick's Day, the clubs of North Tipperary played a tournament to see who would keep the cup. It was won by Silver Mines, and forevermore it's been called the Silver Mines Cup. Wow. The Silver Mines Cup is on display in Croke Park, where there's also an exhibition to acknowledge the fact that the GAA is 140 years old this year, but also our sister associations. Camogie is 120, the LGFA is 50, yeah. The GAA link to handball is 100 years old. So there's a free public display in the visitor centre in the Phoenix Park, and there's also a magnificent display in Croke Park in the museum there.
Keen, thank you so much, and we'll encourage everybody to check out those exhibitions and to enjoy the ladies' football final on Sunday and the Camogie on Sunday week. Keen, thank you so much for those absolute precious gems, and we'll chat to you soon again.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
Yeah, that's Keane Murphy there, GAA historian. And that's it for this weekend's show, folks. Hope you enjoyed the ladies' football final on Sunday, the ladies' football finals. A huge thanks to our producer, Andrew O'Connor. Mark Dwyer was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler, take care. Talk to you again soon.